Talk to Me with the coach, Michael E. Maiden, a blast from the past, as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews that include past and present Major League Baseball players. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
Welcome to today's show. I'm your host and the coach, Michael E. Maiden. I'm going to reach back and bring you some of my past MLB interviews, which includes Blake DeWitt, Adam Dunn, Andre Ethier, Brian McCray, Austin Jackson, and Dodgers great Maury Wills. I had the opportunity to meet and interview Maury Wills when he was in Chicago, and I want to share that interview with you.
As I'm visiting with the legendary Maury Wills, who holds the all-time stolen base record at the breaking Ty Cobb record. Welcome, Mr. Wills.
Thank you, Coach. Very nice of you. Nice to be on your show. I was the all-time record holder, but a couple of fellows by the name of, one by the name of Lou Brock and the other, Ricky Henderson, came along and smashed my record.
But we're not going to tell about that record. We'll let you be the all-time.
That's right. I'm in town, so let's talk about me.
There you go.
My favorite topic.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your career.
Well, my playing days, I played for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I played 14 years in the big leagues, but more significant than that to me is that I spent 8.5 years in the minor leagues, mm-hmm, and still made it. Mm-hmm. Usually after about 4 years in the minors, if you haven't made it, they release you. Or the young player gets discouraged and he quits. Mm-hmm. And I came up in the 50s. I came up in the 50s where I couldn't stay where my teammates stayed. I couldn't eat where they ate, and I couldn't even travel the way they traveled. I had to do it separately. There was some of my minor league seasons, but I had this great dream, all based on the fact that Jackie Robinson was playing in a town called Brooklyn, mm-hmm, for a team by the name of the Dodgers. And so my childhood dream was to play for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And I realized that. And in those 8.5 years in the minors, struggling and going through stuff like I just mentioned, nothing could take away from that dream. Mm-hmm. And I hung in there, and I eventually made it.
Given the Bears and the racial history of Major League Baseball, what would you compare the strides that the game has come to today?
Oh, it's mega strides. It's just wonderful today. Today you're judged on your talent rather than on the color of your skin. When I played for the Dodgers in the glory days in the 60s, we had out of 9 players, starting players, we had at least 5, it could have been 6 African American players on the field. Those days are gone, that's for sure. Now they go to the colleges to get the minor league kids instead of the inner cities. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the African-American players are going to other sports. Mm-hmm. I hate to see that, but that's, mm-hmm, the way it's going. I do all I can in Los Angeles to work with the youth, trying to get kids to play baseball instead, mm-hmm, of the other sports. I don't even want to mention the other sports. Yeah. Or getting lost to the different elements that's, mm-hmm, out in the street. It's tough today, but I try to give back.
And today you would be looked upon as one of the pioneers of the game, given the course and history that baseball has taken with minorities, Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige. I would say you would go in the archives of history with Major League Baseball.
Well, I don't know. That's up to Major League Baseball to do that. They haven't done that so far. A lot of people feel that I should be in the Hall of Fame. If I go in, fine. If I don't, that's fine, too. Mm-hmm. My life has been good. God has been good to me. I'm happy. But you mentioned me being a pioneer. I feel that way because I train players now. I still work for the Dodgers, and I train baseball players to make $10 and $15 million a summer, mm-hmm, just to play baseball. Mm-hmm. A lot of them never even heard of Maury Wills. They ask me what team I played for. They ask me what position I played, if I ever played in the All-Star games, if I ever played in the World Series. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. But it's only because they're not too concerned about the history of the game. They're, mm-hmm, just concerned in what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. But I feel that if I had not had heroes like Pee Wee Reese for the Dodgers, Jackie Robinson, Jim Gilliam, to look forward to wanting to emulate and be like them, mm-hmm, I never would have made it. My dream would have gone by the wayside when I had those tough times coming up through the certain areas of the country when I was a minor leaguer. But I remembered those players before me, mm-hmm, and I wanted to be where they were. And I wanted to be just like them, and that kept my dream alive. Today, the players don't seem to have a dream. They're just living for today. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much they love the game, but, mm-hmm, I know I love the game. And if you love it, you got a chance to be the best you can be. But without that love, you're not going to be the best that you could possibly be.
And with the money that's in the game today, that would just blow a guy's mind back in the 50s.
They're turning over now in their graves. I mean, I'm turning over already. I haven't gotten it to the grave yet. But, yeah, you see, the money is great and the money is there, but and the players, I don't know. I think that it bothers the work ethic. Mm-hmm. Players don't work as hard as they used to. We used to get paid for next year based on what we did this year. Mm-hmm. Now the players have the 4 and 5 year contracts mm-hmm. for 5 or 6, 10 million already guaranteed. I wonder what my work ethic would be like. You know? And it was good when I was a player. It's good today. Mm-hmm. I have to work. I love working and I love training the players. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting them down. We're all products of our time. Mm-hmm. I like the era I played in, and I like that time, mm-hmm. and so I'm grateful for that.
Well, you're definitely one of the pioneers of the game, and I hope down the road in the future we can meet and interview you more longer. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Coach. It's good to be in Chicago, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I also had the opportunity to meet Brian McCray while he was in Chicago, and he shared with me his thoughts on inner-city baseball.
Welcome back to Talk to Me with the Coach, Mike. We made with Brian McCray, the future Hall of Famer from the Kansas City Royals. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good, doing good. It's nice to be back in Chicago.
Where's baseball going with the inner-city baseball players?
Well, that is a good question. It's been asked a lot. Mm-hmm. My organization, we partner up with the RBI program in Kansas City to allow those kids to play with us. If they want to, when they're not playing games, they can come over and play in some of the local tournaments with us. And if they like what we're doing, then they can travel and play with us as long as it doesn't interfere with what they're doing with their RBI team. So we're going after kids that want to play. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, how come inner city kids, what they're not doing, why they're not playing baseball, what is Major League Baseball doing for them, and why aren't the black kids playing? And I said, basically, the way I can see it is some of those kids don't want to play. You can't make kids play.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of kids that do want to play, and we're going to reach out to them. And if they want to follow it, then you know, we'll have some avenues and try to do some things that way. But a lot of it is the interest is not there, and you can't make somebody do what they don't want to do.
And I know you yourself, you had an illustrious career in the big leagues as a major league ball player. How was that journey for you from low league to high school and on to the big leagues?
It was just something that I always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being around my father, watching him play with those teams with the Reds in the early 70s mm-hmm. before the Big Red Machine. You know, that was my babysitters were Sparky Anderson. You know, I was around Pete Rose.
So we call you privileged.
You know, so that was something that was eye-opening to me because I saw firsthand how those guys worked and what they needed to do to be successful. And at a young age, I was like, I want to do that. That looks like, you know, something that's enjoyable, something that's fun, and I was around it enough to understand the ins and outs of it, and I think my work ethic came from watching what those guys did. They didn't just show up at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock game. You know, they put a lot of work into it, and being around the ballpark at a young age and being around some of those greats in the game influenced me to say that that's something that I wanted to try to do.
So you understood that you had to eat, drink, and sleep this game.
Yeah, it's not a thing that you can do, you know, half your time and think that you're going to be good at it. You know, if you want to be great at something, you have to put a lot of effort into it. That's, you know, I tell the kids, like, you want to be good, you in anything, any field that you want to do, you got to put the time in. You can't just show up. A lot of you guys are talented in some areas, but you have to keep working on those things. And really, you know, the guys that you see on TV, they're in the same place as you are. They have some of the same skill sets, but if you don't work it and want it, then you're not going to get there.
Yeah. And my show reach a young audience, you know, young aspiring baseball players, high school, college. And I always, with the major leaguers, take them back to when they first got that call up to the big leagues and you walked in that locker room and saw your uniform. What was that experience?
I was in Huntsville, Alabama, and it was about 4 o'clock in the morning when the manager beat on my door. And I was thinking that some of the guys on the team were playing a prank or what was going on, because maids ain't coming at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I didn't know what was going on. And the manager, Jeff Cox, who's with the White Sox, the third base coach, he's like, "You're going to the big leagues. You need to get your stuff and go." And I thought he was joking around, and they go, "No, I'm not joking around. They just called. They got a game tonight. You need to go." So it was kind of like a whirlwind day. That was 90, so cell phones weren't real prevalent. And in the minor leagues, we didn't have none. So I couldn't get a hold of my parents to let them know that I was getting called to the big leagues. I had to rush to get my stuff out of the locker room, connect the flight earlier in the day in Atlanta, get to Kansas City. I got to Kansas City about 5:30. The game was at 7. I thought I wasn't going to be in the lineup. I get to the ballpark, I see my name in the lineup. So everything just happened so fast, I didn't get a chance to soak it in because it had been a rush from 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning till when I got to the ballpark. But it was a day that, I hoped would come earlier. It didn't, but it came. And, you always remember that. And you'd hope it'd be something a little bit better of a story than somebody beating on your door at 4:30 in the morning. But that's how I found out that I was coming to the big leagues, and that'll work for me.
That'll work.
As long as you get there.
Yeah.
The coach take you behind the scene with Brian McCray, future Hall of Famer.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
A blast from the past, classic MLB interviews with the coach.
Adam Dunn. Now, every time I was doing an interview with someone and Adam Dunn was around, he would make a cameo in the interview. He would come and stick his head in the interview to make sure that he was in it. Whatever he was doing, he would stop what he was doing and come and stick his head in the interview with whoever I was interviewing. So today, I'm going to take you behind the scenes with Adam Dunn, a great guy and a funny guy, but he's definitely one of a kind. The coach with Adam Dunn.
Coach, getting ready to do this one-on-one with AD Adam Dunn. So all of you on TV, man, stand by and watch out for this interview. He big leaguing Adam Dunn? No, you can't. Don't take his credentials. Coach is on the road taking youngsters behind the scenes all year long with the big leaguers. And we got AD Adam Dunn there. He'd have made enough cameos in our show, so he's on tap today. All right, let's talk about this big league season. I mean, Adam Dunn, mm-hmm. you'd established yourself in the big leagues. I mean, what does it take for you to get yourself mentally prepared for a season?
You just got to be consistent. You got to have a routine, one, because we do this every single day. So you have to have the same routine, whether if you're going good, whether you're going bad. You just got to have familiarity to, routine's the best way I can put it, is you just got to be consistent.
And more importantly, coaching college ball, I always tell my kids, no matter what stress the game bring out, you got to have fun.
Yeah, if you're not having fun, this game is hard enough, and if you're not out there having fun first, then you might need to try something else. This game is meant to be fun. Obviously, it's, at this level, it can be very stressful and very demanding. But it's still a game that I love. It's still I still enjoy playing.
In our Facebook nation, we get these questions. We know you play your defense according to the hitter, but what about the shortstop, second baseman moving all the way over to first base, third base moving over short? What kind of shift is that for you?
Well, yeah, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's not fun. First off, because obviously they're shifting because of the way they're going to pitch me. So, obviously when you're looking, on TV or you're in the stands or whatnot, and you see this enormous hole over here at third base, obviously the main question is, well, why don't you just hit it over there? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, if it was that easy to do, I would definitely do it. But, it goes by how they're pitching you. It's hard to hit a ball over there when you're getting something diving, down and in on your back foot.
I haven't seen you drop a bunt down yet, though. That'll max them up.
Yeah, that would mess them up. That's something that, the situation, I don't want to go out there and just give myself up, because I really feel like that at any point in time, I'm able to pop one in the park. So, the situation if it dictates something like that, then, you know, I definitely will always check it.
So the coach put the bug in your head, in other words.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I'll give you all the credit.
Okay. You know, you talk about how fans look and think it's easy. They don't realize that, you know, you guys are a major league team facing a major league team, and they out there to win a ball game just like you guys, and they just think it's supposed to be automatic when you guys come up to the plate and the pitcher make pitches.
Yeah, and again, we've, you know, we're built to not make excuses and things like that, but, you know, realistically, I mean, we've run into some pretty good, you know, pitching staffs, and obviously this series is no different with Tampa Bay coming in. So, you know, it's definitely challenging. We just, you know, we've got to find a way to get it done. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, we're taking our youngsters behind the scenes. Now, you know, I know being a college coach, having been a college coach, that a lot of characters make up a team and a lot of stuff going that what happens on the team stays on the team. But I hear Adam Dunn's a pretty big character on this team.
That's a rumor. You know, that's a rumor. I'm probably as boring as they come. You know, I just...
I'll see you. I hear the rookies hide from you, by the way.
No.
Well, you know, we see y'all handcuff a few up.
Yeah, we try to have a lot of fun. You know, it's, again, you're with these guys more than you are your real family. So, you know, you got to try to get along, you know, make it enjoyable each and every day. And, you know, my personality, I try to, you know, keep it as loose as I can every day.
So how about Chicago? How have you made the adjustment to this big city?
I love it. I mean, you know, I've said that day one. I came here in 2001. I mean, this is, you know, this is by far, you know, my favorite city. You know, I didn't know how much I would enjoy living here, you know, because obviously, you know, when you visit a place, yeah, you know, it's obviously different when you live there. But, you know, I've enjoyed every single second of it. And, you know, just it's a great city.
So your wife haven't spent all the money up on the McDiffin Mile yet, have she?
Yeah, I limit her once a month. She gets a trip once a month.
Okay, well, you don't give her the platinum card, I know.
No, she gets the cash. When she runs out of that, she's gone.
Coach, take your youngsters behind the scenes with the man, AD, who makes cameos on all my interviews.
Yep, I'll let you have Q by yourself, though. Okay. That won't happen again.
A blast from the past, classic Major League Baseball player interviews with the coach. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
Next in our lineup is Dodger great Andre Ethea, as I ran across him while I was at spring training. Now, Andre Ethea made a few runs at Major League Baseball Triple Crown. And for those of you youngsters out there that don't know what the Triple Crown is, there may be a few of you, but most of you baseball fans know what it is. But it is to lead all of Major League Baseball with home runs, hitting, and RBIs in the same season. Andre Ethea, the man.
The coach is on the road down in spring training, and I ran across the man from the Dodger, Andre Ethea. How are we doing today?
Good, good. Just out here trying to get that swing back and, you know, put that hard work in the cage right now.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, my show reaches a young audience, some young aspiring high school and college baseball players. So for you guys coming down to spring training, what does this mean to you?
You know, it's a time, you know, first of all, to get your work in and get you back on track where you need to be and clear your mind and clear your head from all those, you know, thoughts and then distractions from the off season and get you back to your mind. And secondly, catch up with those old teammates and, you know, buddies and friends and meet some new teammates and, you know, figure out a way to come together and, you know, be one team when you leave here, you know, at the end of the spring.
You know, I coach college baseball and I scouted for five major league teams, and it's every kid's dream to play in the big leagues. Now, you crossed that threshold, made it to the big leagues, was going for the Triple Crown. I mean, what's big league life like for the youngster?
It's all you dreamed of. It's everything you dreamed of even more. You know, like you said, I dreamed about this since I was a little kid. You know, I always hoped, believed I'd get here. You never really think it, it's actually going to happen. But, you know, as long as you keep those hopes, dreams, and beliefs alive, you can achieve anything. And, you know, I went from, not being drafted in high school to finally getting drafted at Arizona State and, you know, found my way up here. And 6 years later, I'm sitting in the big league still and enjoying a great life and getting a chance to, you know, live out that dream.
And I always tell youngsters it's all about having opportunity. So how does that opportunity come about for you?
Persistence. You know, like I said, you know, high school, not getting drafted, having to go to junior college, which is, you know, if there's no one out there, no four-year schools looking at you, junior college isn't a bad way to go in any sport. It gives you another opportunity to play. And, you know, then went from there to Arizona State for 2 years. And, you know, a couple of years in the minor leagues, got traded over here from the Oakland A's, and, you know, been in the big league since. So, like I said, just persistence, a lot of hard work. You know, never giving up. I've, you know, had plenty of 0 for 4s and a couple of strikeout games, but always coming back and, you know, knowing I have the talent and the abilities to, you know, make it here and stay here.
So what's Dodger life like?
It's unbelievable. LA is a great place to play. You know, it's a city where everyone knows, you know, the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, and, you know, it's fun playing in a place like that, and, you know, it's nice being out on the coast and being close to the ocean there every day, and being in the Southern California sun where everyone wants to go out and, you know, escape to once a time in their life, and, you know, like I said, living a dream, playing in L.A., and getting to travel on private jets and flights everywhere, and, you know, living in, you know, in a uniform my days.
Need a bodyguard?
Exactly.
You're making it glamorous. Yeah. I need your bodyguard. Yeah. You know, I always tell those youngsters that went to the big leagues, it's a different lifestyle. I mean, when you got that call to the big leagues, what was it like?
Unbelievable. You never, like I said, you always believe and hope it's going to happen, but you don't know exactly when it's going to happen. I mean, I've had, I was as hot as it could be in the minor leagues and maybe thinking of the time, and actually, I wasn't swinging the bat too well at the time, and they called me up and said it was one of the least, you know, most unlikely moments in my minor league career where I thought I would get called up, and sure enough, when I was feeling down in the dump, you know, I got my call up and you know, made the most of it, and you know, shocked and surprised, and I got a chance to play actually in front of my hometown fans here and family in Arizona, who was my debut. So it was a special day and something I remember from my whole life.
So, you know, the defining and the scout is, can you hit major league pitching? Now, how you come up and for a triple crown? You doing triple duty?
You know, that's something where you just have to go out there and, like I said, believe and trust yourself and don't get too caught up in the moment. You know, there's going to be a lot of hype and a lot of emotion involved, but at the same time, you know, just enjoy it. I think sometimes you get a little bit much, you know, too much pressure on yourself in those situations when you, you know, let the, you know, everything going around build and come down on top of you rather than just taking a you know, wide-eyed approach and you know, all in and enjoying it and realize you know, not many people get the opportunity to be in this situation and have fun and be thriving in a major league, you know, as a major league player the way I was.
Coach, on the road in spring training, take you behind the scene with the Dodger man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Coach. Thank you.
Talk to me with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. A blast from the past as we take you back and share with you some of Coach Maiden's best interviews. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
Now, just for the record, I got to lay the foundation for this next interview, because this is one, a classic interview with Blake DeWitt when he was with the Cubs. I was doing an interview with Sean Marshall when Blake DeWitt walked into my interview and interrupted the interview. So this is how he got on Coach's show. So we go show you that, and we go show you the interview. A blast from the past with the coach, Michael E. Maiden. Taking you back down memory lane.
Before we broke for the season, that I made the team. And
we're so talking about you later.
I called home.
Sorry about that.
Introduce yourself to my wife.
Blake DeWitt, you know, utility player for the Cubs.
And where are you from?
From Sykeston, Missouri.
So how did Missouri boy wind up playing ball in Chicago?
I don't know, but I love it. I love it.
So what's this big league experience been like?
It's been great. You know, it's something that every kid dreams of. It's what you grow up, you know, dreaming about, and, you know, playing little league ball, coming all the way up through, you know, through the different levels, and, you know, it's a dream come true.
And they say that this is a kid's game the grown men are playing. What do you say about that?
No doubt about it. That's exactly right. I mean, you know, to be able to step out on these fields every day and play baseball and, you know, in front of crowds like this and in front of atmospheres like this is it's a lot of fun.
What type of adversities do major league players go through?
It's tough. You know, it's a game of failure, especially if you're, you know, on the offensive side of the game. It's, you know, a game where you're, you know, if you're 3-for-10 at the plate, you know, you're doing something right. So, you know, there's a lot of struggles involved, a lot of ups and downs, and, you know, it makes it tough. But, you know, I think that's why we all love it so much, is because it's such a challenge.
Now, how special is it playing for the Cubs? You know, the Cubs is America's team, you know, all across the country, Cubs fans. How special is that?
It's neat. I came up with the Dodgers and played there for a while, and it was one of those, you know, historic organizations. And to be able to come over here and experience Chicago is, it's been special. You know, in the short career I've had, been with two of the greatest franchises there are, and, it's been a lot of fun and real special to me.
You see all your youngsters out there, that's how you get on the air. You just walk in front of Coach interview.
My fault, I wasn't even paying attention. I'm sorry.
Coach on the road, take you behind the scene with the big leaguers. All right, appreciate it.
I forgot to ask these guys to say yeah.
A blast from the past, classic Major League Baseball player interviews with the coach. www.blastfromthepast247.com.
Okay, as we're moving along with today's show, I want you to check this interview out with Austin Jackson when he was with the Detroit Tigers. And we are going to conclude this show, this interview.
I got the star center fielder for the Tigers, Austin Jackson. How we doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, we got a young audience out there that want to know, who is Austin Jackson?
I'm just a simple dude from Texas. Got my career started with the Yankees. Got drafted by them out of high school, and I got traded in the Curtis Granderson trade, and pretty much got my career started here with the Tigers, and I'm enjoying it.
Hey, you know, Curtis Granderson was my guy. I knew him since he was in high school.
Oh yeah, he's a good dude. I got a chance to meet him there, man. He had nothing but good things to say, and he told me just go over there, play hard, and they'll love you.
You enjoyed your rookie season in the major league. It's every kid's dream to play in the big leagues. So what was that rookie season like for you?
Rookie season, man, it was crazy. It was an emotional roller coaster, man. Doing good, want to do so well, perform so well, and sometimes you get down and you just got to kind of grow and mature a little bit, because it's a tough game. Everybody at this level is good, and you just got to keep working hard and keep God first, and just go out there and play good.
Some days you came to the ballpark, just said, I'm going home, I'm giving this up.
Man, some days, man, I was like, I don't even know what I do this for, man. I should have went to college and played basketball. So yeah.
So there are youngsters out there that want to play Major League Baseball. And what's the travel like?
Travel, it can be tough. It was tougher in the minor leagues, just because we were on a bus and traveling 8 to 10 hours, pretty much every road trip. Now we get to fly a little bit, but we're going from the West Coast, back to Detroit and things like that, and we don't get as much rest as we would like, but we can't complain. We're doing something that we enjoy doing, so.
So, being at the ballpark 10, 11 hours, you can't be no party hour.
Nah, man. It's getting rest, eating right, making sure you staying hydrated.
So when you show up and you see these guys out here, do you sometimes want to just, pinch yourself?
Definitely. I got a chance to, I watched Griffey, that was my role model growing up, and I got a chance to meet him two spring trainings ago, and it was a dream come true for me. Like I said, I watched him growing up, I wore his shoes, I wore, the same number, tried to hit like him, so it was just a dream come true, to get to meet a guy that I looked up to when I was young.
So was he down to earth or?
Definitely. He was definitely down to earth. And I wanted to say so many things to him, but the only thing I could ask him for, I said, hey, you think I can get a bat? And I was like, man, that's not what I wanted to say to him right there, but
So now when these kids come ask you for your autograph, did that make you more sympathetic to them?
Oh, definitely. I understand. It's one of those things, where, a lot of people enjoy watching you play, and, people are going to want your autograph from time to time, and, I don't mind doing that.
Now, you say you got drafted by the Yankees and you broke in with the Tigers. What is it like playing in Detroit?
It's great, man, to be honest, man. The fans are unbelievable. They come out every night, support us no matter how we're doing. I remember a couple of times last year we were struggling real bad, and the stands are full. When you have that type of energy each and every game, it kind of gives you something to play for a little bit.
Now, I know you got to get ready for the game, but the White Sox are kind of up and down, so can you take it easy on them on this whole stuff?
Hey, you never know with in this game. Anybody can win at any time. Last year, they were struggling, yeah. And then next thing they won 20 out of 20-something games, and they're right back in it, so.
Coach, taking you behind the scenes with the man for the Tigers center fielder, Austin Jackson.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. and make sure you tune into our next show and visit our website, blastfromthepast247.com. That's blastfromthepast, the number 247.com for upcoming events. And make sure you click the link to follow us on Facebook. Peace out with the coach.